It is Vision Sunday, as Danielle was saying. This is such an exciting day for me for the things that we sense that God's put in our heart for this year. The vision for our church, the big broad vision for our church, it doesn't change. Our vision is here to see lives transformed. It's to see people connect with God and to have their lives transformed from the inside out. It's to see people who already know God to go deeper in their relationship with Him. That's our vision as a church. We're here to see lives transformed. It's a modern way of saying we're here to make disciples, to go into all the world. I believe the way that Jesus is glorified the most is when people's lives are transformed. It brings Him glory, and that's ultimately what we want to do. What's awesome about that, you know, I was thinking about this during the week. I was thinking of Chris and Di Rogers. Where are you, Chris and Di? Just stand up. These guys are amazing. I love Chris and Di Rogers. I remember their Rat Bad son, who you might know as Jason, and I were in university together in the Army Reserves. And Jason, through a family crisis, did a research and turned to Christ. And then he rang me and said, I want to come to you. And meet with you. I actually thought he wanted to sell me some network marketing. I'm like, but anyway, came and met with me, told me how his life had changed, how through a crisis he'd met Christ and wanted to come to church. And so he brought his beautiful wife and brought his parents along. And Chris was a sergeant in the Army, and he was, what's a nice way of saying a hard person, all right? Hard-hearted, tough cookie, all right? Soft on the inside, and they came to church, and he was like, I'm not going to church, you know, and event, they came along. We were in the green building back in Kiwana there for a while. They came to church, and I remember one Sunday prophesying over you, and then on that day, I think, Calissa, you had a vision from God that you got saved. I'm not going to tell everybody about it. That's a whole other story. Then Mum got saved. Then these guys responded to Christ, and the transformation in their hearts, like, you can't talk to Chris without feeling the love of God, and the tears in their eyes are genuine. You would not meet a more generous couple, and who just keep giving and giving, and they help pastors overseas, and they sow into lots of people's lives. They're evangelists, and so you're the kind of people that makes me go, Jesus, the vision to see transform lives is about people like Chris and Diane Rogers. We love you guys, full of joy, always bringing someone to church. I love it. We're about transform lives. It's what we're all about. Brings glory to Jesus. And we have our dream for the decade. You've seen that. That's I for one was praying about what's our theme for the year, and God gave me a dream for the decade. I'm glad we didn't have any kind of theme for 2020. It was just like, it was a train wreck. COVID was a train wreck. Well, I'm glad the theme for the year wasn't let's all gather together. Wouldn't that have been terrible? Devoted to hospitality. Oh my gosh. So God, in His wisdom, knew what was coming, and He gave us a dream for the decade. And so we got a 10-year thing that we're unpacking, and some of it's audacious and will only happen by a move of the Holy Spirit. But every component of it is God-breathed, and it's seven expressions of the life of our church. I love the first part. I see our church in a season of revival. It's something that really I only began to think and pray about it maybe 7 years ago. God put it on our heart, and it's still the deepest cry of my heart for our church. That we know the presence and the love of God, and I love that. And we know the anointing and the power of God. But there's another dimension where Jesus walks into our lives and His glory fills the room, and it's undeniable, and revival breaks out, and there are salvations of the hardest people you can possibly imagine. And there are miracles, and people's lives are apprehended for the call of God. So this is what we see, and it's building, and it's what we're praying into and believing God for. Then every year we ask God, give us a theme. What do you know, we get words from God for the year, but what's a theme? What's something, Lord, you want to emphasize for our church? What's something you want to weave into the fabric of C3 Powerhouse? What's something that you want to strengthen in the culture of our church? It's not like once that's done, we move on. It's like, no, that's dug something into who we are. We've had things like a hunger for God. And what's really cool is so many visiting preachers come and say, your church has got such a hunger for God. That was part of a theme and an emphasis. That's why we love to pray. We had one was deeper in the Word. Brilliant disciple makers. We had one year was year of the party. Come on. It was a fasting free year. Come on. Not this year. That was a few years ago though. But the party vibe continues. Last year, our theme was devoted to hospitality. And so that was a real strengthening. And some of these things are recapturing what the enemy kind of stole through those COVID years of hunger for God and on the altar and hospitality and being devoted to one another. And so that these are things that mark the early church. They're devoted to hospitality. It should mark our church. It's not like, oh, we're done now. We don't need to invite anybody over. No, we're actually devoted. Actually, just a little update. You heard me say one of my goals was to cook a brilliant char-grilled steak. I've done that goal. Tick, I did that. Oh, this was awesome. All right. Apparently, I have to do it more, but that anointing was powerful 2 weeks ago. So this year's theme, and you would have seen it out in the foyer, in the those of you in the room or on your seats, is equip the saints. Equip the saints. I am really excited about this. This is, I feel like this is a release of something that God's been kind of stirring and shaping in my thinking and theology for probably 7 years or so. And I feel like it's the time to really talk and pray and preach about this and help us move forward. It comes out of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. Let me read this. And it says, and he, capital H means Jesus, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints. Everybody say the equipping of the saints. The reason he gave them was the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. All right, so the saints are the ones who do the work of ministry. All right, for the edifying or the strengthening or the building up of the body of Christ. Then it goes on and says, until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. Everybody say mature. Mature. Come on. Attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Now the context of these scriptures is talking, the whole chapter is really talking about unity and Jesus wanting his church to be united and not fractured and to be of one heart and one mind and one soul as a church. And we see a little earlier in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, it says, he has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. So therefore, if you're a Christian, once you receive Christ, you've got gifts. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, I've got gifts. You've got spiritual gifts, baby. Every one of us do. And then it goes on, that is why the scripture says, when he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and he gave gifts to his people. This is talking about after Jesus' death on the cross, he actually went down to hell. He took the keys to hell and death. There was a group of righteous ones who put their faith in the law pointing to Christ. And the Bible says Jesus went and rescued them and he led them captive into heaven, into one of the great captivity marches. And as he led those captives who were, they couldn't get into heaven yet because the blood of Christ hadn't been shed, but now they had. As he led those captives to heaven through a great march, it says he gave gifts to his church. That's what he did. He was like, I'm going and I'm going to set my church up by giving gifts. That's the context of what we're talking about. And these are the gifts that he gave. The gifts that he gave were actually people who would provide five areas of leadership to the ministry of the church. These are the gifts. So you and I, we've all got spiritual gifts. And last year we did a series called Activate the Gift. That's talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that each one of us can operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But these are five particular gifts that Christ positions into leadership in the church for the strengthening of ministries in the church. I'm going to jump down a little bit. Sorry, guys. Just work with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says this. I'm going to teach you for a little bit, and this is going to help us frame up the year's theme. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. That's the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, all right? There are diversities of Spirit. They're the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And there are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. That's talking about Jesus' ministries. And then it goes on and said there are diversity of activities, the same God. That's the Father's gift. So when you think spiritual gifts, there's kind of three categories. One is the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We all get the Holy Spirit when we get born again and we can all move and operate in that. We can all learn to prophesy. We can desire those gifts. Some of us have got the gifts of healing. Some of us, so that they're the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But that's a really interesting, there are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. All right, park that thought. Differences of ministries, but the same Lord. So when we go back to Jesus going to heaven and setting five things in place, he's talking about five types of people who lead five types of ministries. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. Now, in some scholars or theologians believe that because of the way that in the Greek that the Bible was written, that pastors and teachers is one. But the fourfold doesn't quite have the sexy vibe of fivefold. So anyway, no. So, and I respect that. For me, I actually believe that it's fivefold. I believe that the scripture indicates that those are five offices or leadership gifts that God gives to the church. And so the gifts are actually people that God gives to the church. The people who operate in the gift of an apostle. People who operate in the office. Sometimes you might have heard this expression. So over a ministry, the office of a prophet. It's possible for someone to be pastoral, small p, but not be in the office of a pastor, capital P. Someone to be an evangelist or evangelistic, small e, but not necessarily be in the office of the evangelist, capital E. Am I making sense to people? Yeah. So if we look at the body of Christ, these leadership positions or offices function, and they've got a couple of different functions that we're going to talk about, but they function to actually equip you and I as ministers to do the work of the ministry, not to do all the work, but to equip us and to equip us to be mature. All right. I'm just loving this. I'm going to pause a bit. I want things to sink in. So what we've got to understand is, you know, I remember when I was 20, I went to a rural Victorian church in country Gippsland, and I was part of this little church. And maybe a month into this little church meeting, I got called to a public meeting, and I thought it was all going to be about painting the church, but there was an uproar and a resurrection from the people weren't happy. And so it began this journey where everyone's like, the Bible says the church needs an apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, you know, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Now there was 20 of us. And for about 6 weeks, 8 weeks, there was this big debate that Joe's the evangelist. And someone's like, no, I think Betty's the evangelist. And I think, no, Bruce is the prophet. And I was like, there's only 20 of us. I'm sure it doesn't work like that. And so my understanding of this scripture is that those who are called to the office of one of the fivefold are called to it for the sake of the body of Christ. Not that every church must have an apostle, prophet, evangelist. Now, we'll get to the ministry streams every church must have, but not that every church must have people in that office. Now, some do. And they usually would be what we'd call an apostolic church, where people are based in that church and they go out to the body of Christ and minister. But it's not an expectation that we're going to go, you know, like, oh, you're this person and you're that person, unless there's a gift for the body. Are we making sense? Yeah. So there are people, and obviously you look around the world, and in C3, we've had different people along the way who really stand out. You know, Pastor Phil Pringle is an obvious apostle. A planter of churches, an overseer of churches. We'll talk about some of the marks of the apostle as we go through this series. We've had people like Vicky Simpson and David McCracken who would come to multiple churches to bring the word of the Lord to the churches. And that they're prophets, and they're operating in the office of a prophet. There would be people who are evangelists, and many would know Billy Graham was, you wouldn't say Billy Graham was a pastor or an apostle. He was an evangelist. He was a messenger for Christ, pointing people to Jesus. Reinhard Bonnke was an evangelist. And then there's the pastor, and most churches are led by a pastor, capital P pastor. That's kind of what happens in local churches. Then there are teachers to the body of Christ. People like John Bevere is a teacher to the body of Christ. Joyce Meyer is a teacher to the body of Christ. And we could name lots of them, but these are people who operate in the office, and all would have varying degrees of influence. Some are globally influencing, some are regionally influencing, some are within a tribe or a movement or a denomination. But this is Jesus' gift to the church, are those five groups of people. Now, this is really interesting. So what does that mean for us as a local church? What does that mean for churches, local churches? How should we operate? And this is the thinking that I've come to believe around this over years is, okay, so all of us physically as have a body and we have five senses, right? Eyes, hearing, taste, touch, smell. Thank you so much. Just testing, making sure you're listening. And all of those five senses are part of how our body functions. And I believe the reason Jesus appointed five groups of leadership positions for the church, if we go back to 1 Corinthians, it talks about they are for the ministry. 1 Corinthians, let's just pull that verse back up. It says, verse 5, there are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. So I believe the reason Jesus created these five areas is because every church needs to have five ministries flowing. Doesn't need to have five people in those offices flowing, but five. So my phrase for that is every church needs five streams, five ministry streams. And part of the goal for this year, this Equip the Saints, is for us as a church to help you work out which particular stream or streams are you graced to serve in. There'll be something, and we'll talk a little bit about how you discover it, but there'll be something about certain streams that you're like, that makes my heart come alive. That fires me up. So let me talk about the five streams. You want to do that? So let's put this, I've got a little chart here that I'm going to help us to understand five ministry streams. The first one is the apostolic. All right, the apostolic stream. Paul was an apostle. Peter was an apostle. There's a number of different people who are apostles. And we'll spend some time preaching about each of these streams throughout the year. We'll talk more about that later. But here's the marks of the apostolic stream in a church. Churches are planted. Signs, wonders, and miracles are performed. Deliverance is normal. Spiritual gifts are imparted and people are activated in their calling. Raising leaders is a key priority. There's an atmosphere of faith and breakthrough. So this is when there's a sense that the apostolic stream is flowing in our church, we're taking territory. In the New Testament, the Greco-Roman word apostolos, so the Bible kind of stole, as it did in lots of different ways, didn't steal, but used a term that everybody understood and made it a Christian word, and we took it over. So the apostolos was an envoy or an ambassador. A number of scholars will tell us this, that when the Romans wanted to establish a new colony in a city, they would send an apostolos, often a Roman general, to bring the culture of Rome, whether through military force or otherwise, to bring the law of Rome, to bring the citizenship of Rome into that new area. So an apostle in Bible terms is someone who oversees churches being planted and churches flourishing so that the culture of the kingdom will be established on earth. So when a church has got an apostolic stream, now some of you have got that sense of the apostolic breakthrough anointing, and it's for different spheres in society. You come into church, you get an anointing on you, and then you go out into education or into government or into the business sphere or into not-for-profit areas, and you bring a breakthrough apostolic anointing into your sphere. I believe at this church, we've been called to be an apostolic church. It's part of the grace on our church. And therefore, part of our dream for the decade is we see influencers and entrepreneurs in every sphere of society. That's an apostolic anointing flowing into the lives of people to take ground. Does that make sense? Yep. That's the apostolic stream. The next stream is the prophetic stream. When the prophetic stream is flowing in a church, the church leaders honor the prophetic and the progressive rhema words of God. You hear us talking a lot about the words that God's brought to us as a church. We honor and value the prophetic. Where the prophetic stream's flowing well, people know how to hear the voice of God, to discern what's me, what's God, what's the devil. There's a real sense of strength in it when the prophetic stream is strong. There's a strong culture of prophetic encouragement. People are hearing God and encouraging and comforting one another. Our small groups, when the prophetic stream's flowing, our small groups are filled with people prophesying encouragement from God to one another. When the prophetic stream is flowing, there's a passion for prayer, for worship, the presence of God, a desire for spiritual intimacy, and a strong culture of intercession. That's the prophetic stream. That's why God, Jesus appoints prophets to stir up the prophetic stream of the church. The next one is an evangelistic stream. In a church that has a strength in this area, winning souls is a top priority. People are equipped to be personal soul winners, to share their testimony, to have conversations, to pray for others, to invite them to church. There's innovative strategies to reach the lost. And so the evangelist comes and equips all the saints to be passionate about winning lost people. And many of you will go, that's my jam, baby. That's what I'm about. Okay, we'll get to that. Pastoral stream. When the pastoral stream's flowing, people feel loved and nurtured in the church. One another care and fellowship is strong. People look out for one another, care for one another. The brokenhearted are healed. Wisdom and counsel and guidance is given from experienced believers. Groups are a strong focus and people feel loved and cared when the pastoral stream is flowing in a church. The teaching stream is the fifth, and so this is why God puts the teachers in. Discipleship is a strong priority. People love to read and study the Bible. They love to go deeper. People understand the themes and the flow of the Bible. And there is a depth and biblical strength. There's a biblical literacy in the church. We know the difference between Samson and Samuel when we've got some biblical literacy going on. That's important. That's important. So these are five streams flowing in a healthy church. I actually believe they're five streams that would flow in any healthy church, regardless of size. I do believe that certain churches, based on the grace and gifting of the senior pastors, will have a particular strength. Some strengths are a teaching house. Some churches have got a real teaching strength, and that's awesome, and they strengthen the body. Some got a real prophetic anointing. Some are evangelistic churches, and they just win people to Christ all the time. That's their vibe. But I believe a healthy church has those five streams flowing. And so part of who we invite every year, this filter we've had for many years, who are we going to invite that will strengthen that aspect of our church? Now, one of my goals and one of our team's goals this year as we preach into this and talk about this is you're going to find there's a God-given grace on your life and some gifts. So you've got spiritual gifts, okay? You might have a gift of, these are the Father's gifts, a gift of mercy, might be a gift of leadership, gift of organization, administration. That's another series that we're going to do. You've got the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but there'll be a particular grace or drawing for you ultimately to use that gift in a particular area. So just as an example, you might have a gift of mercy. God's wired you up to feel mercy. But I could get two people with a gift of mercy, and one is drawn to showing that mercy to people in the community, to reach lost people. We got to feed them. We got to care for them. We got to heal their hurts because they're drawn to the evangelistic stream. That's the grace on their life. But another person's drawn to the pastoral stream, and they're like, we've got to care for God's people. We've got to get around the church. We've got to help people going through a crisis. Same core in a gifting, different stream or motivation or function. Does that make sense? Yeah, right. So you're like, how do I? Now, the longer you've been a Christian, the more you'll probably relate to each of these. But I usually think people have one or two that would be your primary. Now, here's a couple of things that indicate what your one or two is. So the first will be you feel fire for it. You're like, I want to, just leave me at the intercessor's prayer meeting. It's amazing because you're drawn to the prophetic stream. If I could pray all day, that's what I'd do. That's a good indication of the prophetic stream. Someone else is like, I'm not praying. I want to get out there and reach people for Jesus. I'll pray as I go. Evangelistic stream, all right? Just that's part of the wiring. So where's your fire and passion come from? And that'll be a bit of an indication. Here's another one. What frustrates you? When you look at C3 Powerhouse and you're like, I see gaps. Now that's just me. Of course there are gaps. There's always going to be gaps. But when you look at an area of church life and you see gaps and it frustrates you, you know what? Pretty good indication that's God's call for you to be part of the answer to the problem. There's a stirring. So you got two choices when you see a gap. One is you can go, this church, it's, you know, blah, 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 complain. I'll go and try and find another one that's got that gap sorted. You're just going to bring some more problems and gaps wherever you go. Or you can go, oh, I see this gap and I'm stirred and moved about it. Holy Spirit, help me to be part of the answer. God, I'm praying, stir up the evangelistic stream in this house. God, would you help me to connect with like-minded people? Stir whatever it might be. And you can pray and then go, how do I get involved to be part of the answer? And we'll unpack some of these things over the year. I'm just giving us a broad direction. He gives us these gifts, and they are to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Often the denominational church mindset that's wrong is we think it goes like this. He equips the saints to advise the pastors and team how to do the work of the ministry. Like, God, use me, but use me as an advisor. That's not what God, he doesn't need your advice. He's like, I've given you gifts and I want you to do the work. Everybody see it's the work of the ministry. It takes work. That's why Jesus said, pray for laborers. And so the role of those ones who come to strengthen us in these areas is so we'll do the work. All right. Now that's for the work of the ministry. That's the stream. So is this helping anybody today? Does it make sense? Let me do it. I'm going to do a quick little fun survey just for the sake of it. I want you to identify a primary stream that you feel called to. Just a primary one. All right. Have you made your mind up? All right. And if I see your hand go up twice, you know we're going to be in trouble. All right. Now, here we go. All right. Who would say, yes, I feel called to the apostolic stream? That's what floats my boat. Awesome. What about the prophetic? That's my jam. Awesome. What about the evangelistic? That's who I am. Magnificent. What about the pastoral? That's who I am. Oh, look at all you pastoral people. Let's go. What about teaching? Who's that's your vibe? Hey, we've got a pretty good crew in the room right now. Look at this. Imagine if we all get equipped, released, and flowing and flying. How the church could be strong. Now, this is awesome. Now, this is what I love because, again, sorry, guys, but I'm jumping back to other scriptures. Ephesians chapter 4. So when this is happening, verse 16 says, of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16 says, from whom the whole body joined and knit together. Remember the theme of Ephesians 4 is unity. Yes. The enemy wants to pull us apart because we've got different passions. We've got different stirrings, different preferences. He wants to pull the church apart, but God wants to unite the church. That's the theme of Ephesians 4. And he goes on and says, the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. That's not a marijuana reference, just to be clear. What every joint, that's like joints in the body connected together. He wants that to work, right? Every part doesn't share causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Get this phrase, every part does its share. The aim for this year is not that you'll do more labor or ministry in church that you're not graced or gifted for, but you'll discover your gift and your grace and your stream. And then when you're flowing, you'll have a contribution of your part to the church, and the church will grow. That's the equip for ministry. The second part is equipped for maturity. Verse 13 says this, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. We've got some beautifully mature people in the room. Mature. Equipped for ministry. Everybody say equipped for ministry.
Equipped for ministry.
Equipped for maturity. Everybody say equipped for maturity. Now, before you go getting all excited, going, cool, I'm called to the evangelistic stream so I don't have to read my Bible. I'm called to the prophetic stream so I don't need to worry about caring for anybody. Maturity is when a believer grows in all five of these areas. You're not a mature Christian without a passion to win lost people. You're not a mature Christian unless you know how to hear the voice of God to encourage others. You're not a mature Christian unless you know your way around the Word of God. You don't. It doesn't have to be your jam, like your main thing. And so that's why the equipping of the saints from these five is to equip us in these areas. So let me just quickly go through it. So the apostle When the apostle comes, put it up behind me, the apostle inspires and equips every believer to break through and take spiritual territory. You can't hang around with Pastor Phil Pringle without feeling like, oh, come on, the world needs the church. We've got to change things. I've got a spirit of faith and breakthrough. But when the apostle does that, we all grow in faith and breakthrough. When the prophet equips us for maturity, they inspire us and equip us to hear God's voice and strengthen and encourage others. Whether you're prophetic or not, we all need to grow in that. When the evangelist comes and stirs us. I love that stirs, puts fire in us. They inspire and equip every one of us to win people to Christ. The Bible says, he who wins souls is wise. So as a Christian, we're called. God's positioned us to influence people for Christ. We might not win like 100 people a year, but we're going to be sowing seeds and part of winning people to Christ. That's the call for every mature Christian. The shepherd. The word pastor actually means shepherd. So some people call it the apest, A-P-E-S-T. They don't call me apest, although some people call me that. But it's the apest understanding. When the shepherd inspires us, they equip us to love and to care for one another. They build me up, they stir me up to mature for that. And when the teacher does their thing, they equip us for maturity by inspiring us and equipping us to understand the Word of God. This is why we need all five flowing into our lives so that we can grow up and be equipped for maturity. So let me summarize what we're trying to do this year. The theme of being equipping the saints is this, is that through the fivefold ministries or the offices, we will be equipped to operate in the grace and the giftings that God's given us in the different ministry streams, in the apostolic, prophetic, evangelistic, pastoral, or teaching streams. We'll be fired up. We'll recognize our passion and the grace of God for us in those streams. And we won't just be equipped for ministry. We'll be equipped for maturity so that every one of us is going to grow more in breakthrough. Everyone's going to grow more in hearing the voice of God. Everyone's going to grow more in winning our friends to Christ. Everyone's going to grow more in loving one another. Everyone's going to grow more in understanding and loving the Word of God. That's what we're going to do this year. That's our theme for 2025. Can you give Jesus some praise? I'm going to invite my wife up right now to talk a little bit about what this is going to look like for our church.
Fabulous. I love that. Thank you for sharing. We're all part of the answer.
It's true.
That's so good. What frustrates us.
I know.
Causes fire within us to bubble away.
It'll be both.
It's so good. Thanks for sharing that this morning.
My pleasure.
We wanted to talk just a little bit about what's on your seats.
Yes.
And I love that we've got the Equip the Saints
the scripture's
little
there.
Flyer there, because that scripture, that can go up somewhere prominent that's going to just remind us throughout the year of what our theme is, and the ministry of maturity. That's awesome.
Makes sense, right?
I love that.
We're
all headed towards
I've been
maturity.
Wanting to preach that for so long. I'm so excited to preach about that.
You're like digging deep on that.
Yeah.
It helps us a lot.
Yes.
And then the other brochure is the plan for the year.
Yes.
So Equip the Saints, what that looks like for us over this year. And you kind of referred to a little bit that we're going to have focuses on all of those fivefold ministries throughout the year and have a special guest preacher in each of those focuses.
Yeah, so we're going to have 5 3-week series throughout the year. We've actually put the dates on there of those series on each one of those streams so that we can all grow in every one of those areas. But we're going to get a specific someone who's in the office of that role to come and help us. So who have we got?
We've got the evangelist first, and that's Andy Gourlay.
Okay,
from
the Boss
Red
Frog. He is
Red
a total
Frog,
evangelist.
Boss Frog. Mm-hmm. In June, we've got Pastor Luca Robertson from New Zealand.
First time. We've got
for the prophetic.
I hear he's unbelievable in his prophetic
next
ministry.
Level
so
accuracy,
you're
going to
love
prophetic.
Pastor Luca.
In September, Katie Haldane is our teacher stream from Sydney. She's been before and just deeper in the Word. In
Trust
October, Pastor Steve and Lisby Warren from Europe.
Yep.
And they're going to speak into our pastoral part of the fivefold.
Pastoral stream.
And of course, Pastor Phil and Chris Pringle,
our overseers and apostles.
In November. So if you're watching online, you won't have access to this right now, but it is going on socials in the next 24 hours and it'll be up on our website this week.
Awesome.
There's a lot of great things coming up.
Heaps
there's a lot of different dates on
really
there.
Really cool things.
Even our fast.
Hey, too
is
fast.
Coming up in March.
Not the year of the party.
I know there's only a few
partying.
Weeks away until our first church-wide fast. So
how many weeks away?
A few. I don't know, three or four.
Are you telling people to fast or are you saying they should fast?
Please fast with us.
Right.
As
okay.
a church.
Okay.
It's important. It's important to jump on board because it's not all just doing things right. in our own strength, but we're growing deeper with Christ.
Yes.
And also our heart just flows out of awesome. His heart. So it
so
actually
good.
Shifts something yes. in you when you do a 10-day fast. Okay.
Awesome.
Are you inspired?
Yeah, that's great. Thank you. There's something on there called Pathfinders. And that is I talked about influencers and entrepreneurs. It's something we feel called to as a church to inspire people in the marketplace. And so we alternate with either a prayer meeting or a breakfast that kind of rotates. So the dates are on that. The next one's a prayer meeting. It's next week, not this week, the week
We've
after.
We've got our every woman dates,
the
our
girls,
real men dates,
the boys,
our young adults retreat
the
date
youth
on there,
dates.
Alpha Christian Essentials throughout the terms, throughout the year. So all of these dates, they're locked in.
Young
for the
adults
year.
Are having a retreat with Pastor
Hang
Trent
on.
Member.
Fire.
You'll love that.
Fire. Come on. So, keep a hold of this.
Fantastic.
And refer to it throughout the year.
I love it.
They're the special things that we've
Am
got.
Am I leaving you to it?
Yes, you are.
All
Can
right,
we put our
thank
hands
you.
together and thank Pastor John for that message this morning. Wow. You're feeling inspired. You're feeling stirred. This is our theme for the year, Equip the Saints. And we're just jumping in, boots and all. But I love the way that he unpacked that. It's kind of come back tonight. It's like you just need more of soaking in that and the study of the Word of God. But really the foundation is unity and to unite us as a church. We're heading in that same direction. So unpacking the fivefold. Come on, put your hands together. Thank you for unpacking that Word of God. God is good.